Okay, so welcome back. So I want to talk a little about the condition itself. And as I said earlier, I'm not an expert. I'm an expert on my own condition, in a sort of distractible kind of way anyway. But I have, you know, I want to share some things. Some of you, this is very common knowledge. Some of it's, well, maybe new, I don't know. So I just pulled some commonly used data sets from, particularly from Mayo Clinic, but also from other sources. And I loosely organize them into three areas, but they're not exhaustive. And these symptoms aren't exhaustive, but just when I read them, just listen and see how they land for you, because some of them will land like, oh yeah, oh god yeah, or like, oh, not really, or not a problem. So impulsiveness, acting without thinking, interrupting conversations, excessive activity or restlessness, and then another basket around. Management, disorganization and problems prioritizing, poor time management skills. One of my friends who's a ADHD specialist, he thinks of ADHD as a time management disorder. Difficulty organizing tasks, problems focusing on a task, trouble multitasking, problems following through and completing tasks, often unable to follow or carry out instructions, poor planning, forgetful and absent-minded, and then some around sort of more the emotional terrain, low frustration tolerance, frequent mood swings, hot temper and reactive, irritable or irritability, and trouble coping with stress, easily overwhelmed. Sound familiar? Yeah? Some, maybe most, some or all maybe, in different times, in different places, under different conditions, maybe some more in the past, some very much present. And some are in your future. Just think. And there's certain ones that obviously probably stand out to you as I was reading that list. Certainly ones stand out to me. Some are like, oh, right, I came across this one today, interrupting conversations. And like, oh, yeah, I do that. Didn't really put that into the ADHD basket, you know. So, and I'm going to go a little deeper dive into some of these. So, and I'm going to read from some of these because, as I say, this is not my expertise. But so, most researchers now define ADHD as a disorder of executive function rather than a disorder of attention or behavior. I'll read that again. It's a disorder. Remember that definition I had of disorder? If I can find it, which I probably won't be able to. But let me see if I can find it. Where did I put that? There we go. It's in the next line. What do you know? It's a disorder. A disorder is... No. That's not it. Disorder is a condition that disrupts physical and mental function. So ADHD, a disorder of executive function. I'll explain what that is. Rather than of attention or behavior. I also had it defined as... The ADHD, you know, any label is sort of limited, and that one particularly, that it's not a deficit of attention, but an inattention of where one places one attention. Inattention to what one attends to. Inattention to what your attention is paying attention to. And in the context of mindfulness, which is about being aware, knowing what you're knowing, paying attention, that I think that's quite apropos to this practice. It's inattention to where your attention's going. Right? You're focusing on a task, and suddenly, you know, you're looking at the peacock and wondering, why is the female peacock alone? And it's like, how did I get to the, you know, whatever about the peacock when I was focusing on my talk, you know? So disorder of executive function, those mental abilities used to coordinate and manage our lives. And my friend Mark was commenting, the ADHD is a chronic medical disorder largely determined by genetics, and the genetic basis of ADHD is almost as strong as the genetic basis for height. Isn't that wild? The genetic basis of ADHD is almost as strong as that for height. As in, it's in your genes. It's in your DNA. It's not your fault. It's not something, a problem you need to, you know, take care of. And that phrase, it's not your fault, my dear friend Wes Nisker, who is a Dharma teacher who passed, I think, last year, he wrote a book called "It's Not Your Fault." No, the book was "You Are Not Your Fault." You are not your fault, right? So, if you only remember one thing today, you are not your fault. ADHD is not your fault. It's part of your genetic disposition. Just like if you're tall, you don't go, "Well, I really messed up. I'm so tall. Like, for God's sake, get smaller." You know, no, you just come tall, or I'm small, or whatever you are. You know, I'm gray hair, I'm red hair, whatever. So Russell Barkley, who's considered one of the preeminent experts on ADHD, he says, ADHD is not a disorder of knowing what to do. It's a disorder of doing what you know at the right time and place. It's a disorder of doing what you know at the right time and place, as in, because it's a disorder, it interrupts your ability of doing what you know at the right time and the right place. It's taken me, I've read that description about 20 times. It sort of takes me a while to kind of, for that to percolate in. Because it's not that we don't know what to do, it's just the functioning interrupts how and when we do it. Russell Barkley, Barkley. This is a lot of good stuff about his. He was one of the sort of founding, pioneering researchers about recognizing ADHD as a condition. So I'm going to just do a few more things around it, and then have us reflect. And again, you don't need to remember this. You can write it down if you want. We are recording this. I don't know quite what I'm doing with it, but I might just put the whole thing up on Dharma Seed so you can listen to it. Dharma Seed is an online sort of Dharma talk catalog. Maybe I might be okay sharing my notes. Maybe, I'm not sure about that, but possibly. Five areas of ADHD. So first, attention management, which is usually what gets the attention. The inability to sustain focused, particularly when challenged or uninterested. Right? Sustaining attention when you don't care about or don't uninterested what you're doing. Right? Super hard for us. Right? Like taxes. And the opposite, having hyper-focus when we are doing something we enjoy. Right? And it doesn't matter what the task is. If you enjoy coding, you can get lost with ADHD for 9 hours, or painting, or hiking, or whatever it is, reading. And there's a certain lack of working memory. And so what that means is that we're often unable to hold things in the short term. Someone tells you something, and we're unable to hold it for less than a minute. So that's why one of the reasons why we have trouble. Like someone says, well, you know, I want you to pick up this thing at the grocery store, and that's three blocks down, two on the left, you know, park by the bank, and then you got to go around the back. And you're like, you lost me at the what? You lost me at the three blocks down? So attention management, task management. Challenges with organizing, planning, prioritizing, and managing time. And as I mentioned before, plans to manage ADHD are often undermined by having ADHD, right? How many of you create lists, to-do lists, right? As I said, on my notes, my Apple Notes thing, I got 1,500 notes. They're not all to-do lists, but there's a lot of to-do lists. And then I have my today to-do list, and that gets too long. So then I have a now to-do list, and then that gets too long, and then immediate, and then urgent. And it's like, oh, God, just start again. Piling system instead of filing system. Right, one of the things I heard, guys, I listened to Huberman Lab. He's a neuroscientist. Some of you probably follow him. And he had a really great... I learned a lot about ADHD from several interviews he had with ADHD folks, specialists. And one of them was, you can tell someone who's got ADHD because they have lots of piles. We use piles as piling systems as opposed to filing systems. And we think, well, I just created a pile and I've sorted the piles, that we sort of a task completed. No, we just created more piles. I've got a huge pile next to my desk, which is part filing, part to do, part stuff I just want off my desk. Because I need a clear desk, because if I have something on my desk, I get distracted, so it goes onto the pile. And then it's like, oh shit, I didn't, you know, renew my AAA subscription or my, you know, what, you know, because it's in the pile. And I have to go through it systematically to see, is there any time pressing things in there that go into the time pressing file? Pile. You gotta laugh. As Wavy Gravy says, if you don't have a sense of humor, it just ain't funny. Here's an interesting one. People with ADHD tend to think mundane tasks should be quick and simple, so they resent it when those tasks take time and energy. You ever find yourself kind of resenting, like, how long the, you know, the house cleaning's taking, or the filing system's taking, or, hey? It's an impatience, intolerance. So we have attention management, task management. Third one, information management. Challenge to remember and organize and retrieve information, either in here or on your desktop or wherever the hell you keep your information and processing. So I get, I would say, daily frustrated because I can't remember where I filed a particular document, you know, because we've, you know, like you, I've got, you know, tens of thousands of documents on my laptop, and I keep a relatively good filing system. But sometimes it's impossible to know where to file someone, to think something, or where to find it. Trouble keeping track of requests or following instructions. Trouble, anybody have that one? Trouble keeping track of requests or following instructions. I shared that one today, from yesterday. Okay, fourth one, effort management. The inability to persevere when activities are challenging. And then the fifth, emotional management. Inability to experience emotions without impulsively acting on them or reacting to them. Poor frustration tolerance. Quick to anger. Quick to overreact and be irritable. Quickly frustrated by minor annoyances. I grew up in a house where everybody was, because everyone had ADHD, was quickly frustrated by minor annoyances, and I find myself the same thing. Again, very humbling as a mindfulness meditation teacher, and I'm fiddling with something like I'm trying to thread a needle, and I don't have great eyesight, and I'm trying to thread the needle. Like, why do they make the needle head so damn small? I'm jamming it in and ramming it in, and I redo the thread, and I get irritated. And I know sometimes, okay, I know this is a task that's going to be frustrating. You're going to approach it with calm, equanimity, grounded. You know to breathe. but it won't go in for God's sake. It's humbling. This condition is extremely humbling because you know better. But then the execution, the action, it doesn't, it's like it, we don't act in the way of, in the way that corresponds to what we know. And so it's humbling or embarrassing. Or if the critic around is around, it becomes shaming, right? We feel, you know, worthless or silly or stupid. Or... Okay, so let's just pause. That was a lot of data. That's the most data you're going to hear today. This isn't about, this isn't an ADHD training. But I wanted to just kind of go through that kind of like, okay, that's the map, right? That's the sort of psychological map. That took me about a day to kind of distill. It's a lot of data out there, and to sort of make it manageable to myself. So, okay. So let's just take a breath. Let's just sit for quietly, either eyes down. If it helps you stay focused in the room, close your eyes if that helps you stay focused. And again, just, you know, sorry. You know, I talked about attention management, task management, information management, effort management, emotional management, impulsivity, disorganization, emotional reactivity. So just again, feeling into, oh, right, this is part of this condition. This is a mostly genetic condition, not always, can be learned, but it's part of my hardwiring. How does that feel to just hear that, to have it mirrored? What's happening in your mind? Maybe the mind is resisting or protesting or arguing or defending or rationalizing. Maybe your mind's judging or shaming. What's happening in your heart? You're feeling defeated, fatigued, sad, broken. Or are you feeling tender, like, oh, this is hard, right? He's just named up a whole bunch of things that I live with and it sucks. And it's just hard to be with. Henry David Thoreau once wrote, "It is not worth the while to let our imperfections bother us. It is not worth the while to let our imperfections disturb us always." This is from Maya Angelou. She says, "It is very important for every human being to forgive themselves. Because if you live, you will make mistakes. It's inevitable. But once you do and you see the mistake, then you forgive yourself and say, well, if I'd known better, I would have done better. And that's all. If we hold on to the mistake, we can't see our own glory and goodness in the mirror because we have the mistake between our faces in the mirror. We can't see what we're capable of. If I'd known better, if I could do better, I would have done better." So from the perspective of mindfulness, from the perspective of these Dharma teachings, these Buddhist wisdom teachings, who we are and how we are, including our functioning, including our ADHD habits and tendencies, it's just the next thing to be with. However difficult, however seemingly problematic, it's just the next thing. And our practice is to meet this moment as it is. And it may be that as you practice mindfulness and you practice these Buddhist teachings, you become more aware of yourself and you become more aware of your ADHD tendencies. And you actually see, oh, it's worse than I thought. It's more pervasive than I thought. It's more disabling than I thought. And you let that land. And this practice is the cultivation of mindfulness, of being aware, paying attention. And yet ADHD interrupts and negatively impacts that ability to pay attention. So we're sitting right now in this moment in a paradox of paying attention with a mind that has difficulty paying attention. Which might be why mindfulness meditation is not easy for you. Why you don't bother. Why you give up. But mindfulness includes everything, including the desire to give up. Feeling confused, watching your busy, restless mind. It's all part of the practice. There's nothing outside of mindful awareness. So I want you to keep sitting. I'm going to read a couple of things. Keep your eyes down or closed because I want you to kind of just feel into this from the inside. It's like just to sit with yourself, with your condition, and meet it as it is. And my mind wandering is like this. My distractibility is like this. My restlessness feels like this. My wanting to run out of this room right now feels like this. My boredom feels like this. My irritation feels like this. Whatever it is like this. Can you meet it with attention, knowing? And when you can't, notice that. This is some words from Pema Chodron talking about cultivating steadiness in meditation. Let's see if this corresponds to your experience. She says, whenever we wander off, we gently encourage our attention and ourselves to stay, to come back, to settle. Are we experiencing restlessness? Just stay here, this moment. Are we experiencing discursive mind, busy mind? Stay. Our fear and loathing out of control, stay. Aching knees and throbbing back, stay. What's for lunch? Stay. What am I doing here? Stay. I can't stand this another minute. Stay. Just stay. This is how we cultivate steadiness. And lastly, I'll read this piece from Francoise Fenelon, pointing to what happens as our awareness grows. He says, as awareness grows, we see ourselves worse to be worse than we thought. We are amazed at our former blindness as we see issuing forth from the depths of our mind and heart a whole swarm of shameful thoughts and feelings. We could never believed we had harbored such things, but we must neither be amazed nor disheartened. We are not worse than we were. On the contrary, we are better. While our faults diminish, the light, the awareness by which we see them grows brighter. Bear in mind for your comfort that we only perceive the malady when the cure begins. We only perceive the problem when the cure begins. Okay, so I'm just curious, how many of you have a regular-ish meditation practice? Regular-ish being the operative word. And how many of you in that is a mindfulness, some kind of mindfulness-ish practice? Yeah, okay. And of those of you who just raised your hand, how many of you find meditating challenging in some way or other? Okay, that's most of you. Okay, that's normal. But I think it has particular challenges with ADHD. So we're going to do another inquiry together in groups of three. And this time the question is, what is your experience of ADHD like? What is your experience of ADHD like? What do you notice about it? Where does it happen? What's the most troubling about it? How does it affect your functioning? And what are your challenges with it? So how do you experience ADHD, and what are your challenges? Of all the things I've been talking about today, with the different ways ADHD can manifest, what is it like for you in your life, and how are you challenged with it, or how do you struggle with it? Yeah? So this is a more revealing exercise. But you're revealing it with other people who have basically the same condition and probably have the same stuff, just different versions, or, you know, different struggles, you know, but of the same material that you might be struggling differently, different times in your life, more with task management or with focus or with emotional reactivity, but it's all part of the same pie. So what I'm going to suggest is we get into groups of three again. It could be the same group, could be a different group. Actually, I'm going to suggest you go into the same group. I'll make it easier. Take... What are we doing here? I would say... Take 3 minutes each to share. Maybe 4 minutes or 5 minutes. 5 minutes sound too long? 3 minutes, okay? Okay, let's do 3 minutes. 3 minutes each. And so other people are listening. You're just sharing. Well, my experience of ADHD, well, I've already shared some of my stuff with it today, but, just, like when I get to my desk in the morning, I just have no idea what to do. I feel overwhelmed. I feel overwhelmed by the complexity of tasks. I don't know how to prioritize my time. I often end up doing the easy stuff, but really ignoring and running away from the hard stuff. And then I get crammed and at the end of the day because I've run out of time to do the important things. That's one simple way that my ADHD manifests. Or I get really, really reactive when my partner criticizes me because I think they just think I'm stupid, but I just forget to do things. But I just get mad. I get really angry and hurt. Or whatever, you know, you can answer it whatever way you want, whatever, however revealing, personal, whatever. And just as a way to sort of begin to share, because there's something about sharing that helps normalize and can also help de-shame it, right? So there might be, you might list 10 things. You might be, have your bullet points, the 10 things that it's a way it manifests. You don't need to go into a long story about it. So groups of three, we'll do 3 minutes each, 3 minutes each, 3 minutes each, and then we'll have a few minutes discussion within the triad just to continue that conversation. So I'd suggest you find your same group. Pardon? So the people who don't identify with ADHD, you can think about all those symptoms that I've shared, and you might not have the diagnosis, but you might have some of the patterns. And raise your hand again if you need a group, if you don't have a group of three, or you came late. So once you have your group, everybody have a group of three. There's a person that you have a group of one. Okay, there's a group of two here, or a group of two here. Do you want to come join the group of two? Great, thank you. Are you a group of two? Do you need a group? So the group? Okay. All right. Great. Okay. So first person, whoever wants to start first, start sharing group of three. I'll time it. I'll ring a bell after 3 minutes and 3 minutes. And if you're on your own, just reflecting, just do a silent reflection. Okay. 3 minutes. Off you go. What is your experience of ADHD like? What are your challenges with it? Off you go.